Blog Talk Radio. Numbers. Tonight we will do, we're going to discuss the conclusion of my domestic violence segment. Tonight it is July 23rd, 2009, and again, thank you for everyone who's listening. Excuse me. I noticed that I was having problems last time. Someone called in and they did not get me. They could hear me, but they could not call in, or they could not lift. Well, I didn't hear them, in other words. I'm hoping that with Blog Talk constantly upgrading and improving, that we do get better with this internet radio. I love it. I eat it up, and it helps out so much to get information out. Tonight we're going to conclude on my domestic violence segment, and I would love to talk about men who are victims of domestic violence. As you know, in the past, three or four weeks that we've been talking about domestic violence, I've been giving you the Louisiana hotline for domestic violence and also the national hotline. And I will be starting my show off tonight with that again. The national hotline is 1-800-799-7233 or 1-800-799-SAFE, which is 7233. And then you'll have Louisiana's domestic violence hotline, and it's 1-800-411-1333. Okay? And like I've been doing in the past, from time to time, I will be blurting out that number or repeating those numbers again. And I'm hoping that I'm able to, and I know everybody can't hear me on air when they want to, but I'm hoping there's someone out there that is listening to these segments of domestic violence. I know I'm reading a lot. It's because it's information that I want to get out to you guys. Bear with me. I talk fast, and sometimes I get my words mixed up, or I got too much going on in my head at the same time I'm talking or trying to discuss something with you. But please bear with me. And I say this all the time, because even though I've been doing this for a couple of months, I say a couple of months, it might have been more. It might have been more. But I'm still in the learning stage. I'm hoping to get better with this. What kind of gets me is people want to be on the show after I've done my show. Oh, you didn't call me. Yeah, I've been talking about my show for a long time. And when I ask for people to want to come on it, they don't want to come in. They don't want to come in. Oh, I can't. That's too late at night. So I'm trying to explain to them we can pre-record this whole thing if you want to, the whole segment. So now all of a sudden people want to get involved, which is good. I'm not going to turn them away. It's just that now I have to set up a schedule where I can get them in. Outside of my Blog Talk Radio, I have other things I do. I'm part of our union at work. It's another passion of mine that I love doing, and fighting for the cause and making sure employees are being taken care of. So I love doing that, and I love giving people advice and getting out information that I have. So I'm hoping this information does help somebody. I hope somebody who's not listening at this time will take an opportunity to listen to my show and to get some information out that's going to help them. Okay. Now, I'm looking at some information on an article that is called Men Are Victims of Domestic Violence 2. It was by Adam Boyland, and it's a U.S. News report. Participated in this article. And it says, the spate of knife crime across the pond that has thrown the British press into quite a tizzy got me wondering about similar U.S. stats. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, knives were used in 14% of the homicides that occurred in 2005, the most recent year for which data was posted. Handguns were used in about 55%. No surprises there. What I didn't anticipate, however, was that my online search for information about knife violence would keep turning up sites about domestic violence against men. This post from the website batteredmen.com, for example, kept appearing, making the case that domestic violence against men, which not infrequently involves knives, is too often overlooked. That site looks a little rough around the edges, so I checked further into the peer review research. I was surprised to find out that about 835,000 men are physically assaulted or raped by their intimate partners each year, according to a study published in 2007 and authored by researchers at the Center for Disease and Control and Prevention. The number could quite possibly be even larger, since it's thought that many men don't report domestic abuse. Psychiatric News has the interesting write-up of the study, which, among other things, points out that women seem often to instigate violence. Also interesting, there seems to be a tendency for women to use knives as opposed to guns against their husbands when domestic violence flares. According to the Department of Justice, about 6% of female and 10% of male victims face partners armed with knives. There's little doubt that women endure more of all types of domestic violence than men, including knife violence. The CDC reported that 1.5 million women are victims each year. But it's easy to forget that violence can go both ways. That's interesting to know. Okay. That it can go both ways. It says right here, men are abused, and I am a survivor of domestic violence by my now ex-wife. The justice system has done so many injustices against me that it has tried to destroy my life. I have had 7 animals killed, brakes cut, gasoline thrown on my house, phone lines cut 26 times, and eventually my house burnt with me in it. The justice system here turns it on the man. Men cannot be victims, so in turn, not only do we as men lose, but my two boys have two. I have contacted the senator, governor, and congressman, but all say that it's out of their hands or refer me to domestic violence shelters or advocacies. How is this bringing awareness that men are victims? When will it stop? When I am dead, where is the help? Where do I turn, and what resources is there? That is very deep. This other person said something. Okay, he said when men are falsely accused of domestic violence. I've dealt with a very controlling and jealous wife for years. She has called the police several times, and I've been arrested and was always found not guilty, either due to her not appearing at court or either admitting the truth. Never thought it would get to this point. On 7 July 2008, she took it a step further when she decided to make up a horrible incident to the authorities. I am facing several felonies which I didn't commit. I'd have to use all my savings to make bond, and it's like I am getting no help. Excuse me, getting nowhere. I lost my job for being arrested. I was scheduled to go back into the U.S. Army as a recruiter, but that has also changed due to the arrest and not being able to go in with open charges. She has made up so many lies that it's unreal. I've been discharged from the reserves and lost another job offer due to needing to be in the U.S. Army Reserves to have this position. Everything has been turned completely upside down in a day. Have legal representation from a public defender, which seems like I'm representing myself. I have everything to support my case, but it's like the justice system makes you wait even when they know the warrant as well as the incident report and the victim statement doesn't add up. I need help. If there is anyone able to understand how how you can become the victim when they claim you are the suspect. These are men who wrote in about the article about domestic violence against men, too. Okay, let's see here. What else can I talk to you about? Domestic violence with men. Okay. Here is an article about from Adult Help. And again, it's domestic violence against men. Know the signs. Seek help. Domestic violence against men. Know the signs. Domestic violence against men isn't always easy to recognize, but it can be a serious threat. Consider ways to break the cycle. This article was written by somebody from a staff member of the Mayo Clinic. Women are more often the victims of domestic violence, but domestic violence affects men too. Understand the signs of domestic violence against men and know how to get help. Recognize domestic violence against men. Domestic violence, also known as domestic abuse, battering, or intimate partner violence, occurs between people in an intimate relationship. Domestic violence against men can take many forms, including emotional, sexual, and physical abuse. It can happen in heterosexual and homosexual relationships. It might not be easy to recognize domestic violence against men early in the relationship. Your partner may seem attentive, generous, and protective in ways that later turn out to be controlling and frightening. Initially, the abuse may appear as isolated incidents. Your partner may apologize and promise not to abuse you again. In other relationships, domestic violence against men may include both partners slapping or shoving each other when they get angry, and neither partner seeing himself or herself as being abused or controlled. But the type of violence can still devastate a relationship, causing both physical and emotional damage. You may be experiencing violence if your partner calls you names, assaults you or puts you down, prevents you from going to work or school, stops you from seeing family members or friends, tries to control you, spend money where you go and what you wear, act jealous or possessive constantly, accuses you of being unfaithful, gets angry when drinking alcohol or using drugs, threatens you with violence or a weapon, hits, kicks, shoves, slaps, chokes, or otherwise hurts you, your children, or your pets. Assaults you while you're sleeping, drunk, or not paying attention to make up for the difference in strength. Forces you to have sex or engage in sexual acts against your will. Tells you that leaving the relationship means you're admitting that homosexual relationships are deviant. Tells you that abuse is a normal part of homosexual relationships, or domestic violence can occur in homosexual relationships. Justifies abuse by telling you that you're not really homosexual, bisexual, or transgender. Says that men are naturally violent. Portrays the violence as mutual and unconsensual and consensual. Rationalizes the abuse as part of a sadomasochist activity. Breaking the cycle. Your abuser threatens violence Your abuser strikes you, your abuser apologizes, promises to change, and other gifts. The cycle repeats itself. Typically, the violence becomes more frequent and severe over time. Domestic violence may leave you depressed and anxious. You may be more likely to abuse alcohol, drugs, or engage in unprotected sex. Domestic violence can even trigger suicide attempts. Because men are traditionally thought to be physically stronger than women, you may be less likely to talk about or report incidents of domestic violence in your heterosexual relationship due to the embarrassment or fear of ridicule. Similarly, a man being abused by another man may be reluctant to talk about the problem because of how it reflects on his masculinity. Additionally, if you seek help, you may confront a shortage of resources for men victims of domestic violence. Health care providers in other contexts may not think to ask if your injuries were caused by domestic violence, making it harder to open up about abuse. They may minimize the significance of the abuse because you're a man. You may also fear that if you talk to someone about the abuse, you'll end up being accused of wrongdoing yourself. But remember, if you're being abused, you aren't to blame, and help is available. Start by telling someone about the abuse, whether it's a friend, a relative, health care provider, or other close contact. At first, you may find it hard to talk about the abuse, but if you'll also likely feel relief and receive much-needed support. All right. I might not be talking that much about abuse against men because I'm kind of learning myself about it. I've never been confronted with it. I don't know too much about it. So I'm learning as I'm reading, giving you this information. Again, I would like to say the hotline numbers. The first number is the Louisiana National Hotline number, which is 1-800-411-1333. And the national hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE or 1-800-799-7233. If you have or you know someone who is suffering from domestic violence or a victim of domestic violence, whether it's a man or a woman, I really advise you to try to get them help. And if you are an abuser, I really strongly wish that you would stop and get the help that is needed for you. Sometimes all it does is take someone on the outside to look at your situation and maybe talk you through and allow you to deal with it the best way you know how, because there's so many facets of why you're the way you are. Some people don't want to be a victim. I mean, don't want to be an abuser. It's just that they're in that situation and they have tempers and they want control. Sometimes they just want to be able to love that person and not feel so insecure or not feel that they have to control them in the way, and the only way I can control you is be abusive towards you. So I say to you, I feel sorry for you as well as I feel sorry for the victim. Some of you, not all of you, because some of you know what you're doing, and you're doing it because that's how you are. Because everybody's not going to change. Everybody's not going to do right. And I am very well aware of that. But the ones out there who are asking for help, wanting to get better, wanting to have a husband or a wife that's loving and caring and that's there for me or for you, and all of this is going on, and, you know, what do you do? And that's why I thank God and every day that I know how to handle myself if I gotten in a situation like that. I know that I can leave. I know that I can go, you know, whether he lets me go or not, I know me. I know I'm going to find a way out of it because I love me too much. We don't realize how prevalent domestic violence against men is. We all know stories of male-initiated violence against women. Perhaps we even know that perpetrators or victims themselves are victims themselves. But violence against men, being beaten up by your girlfriend or wife is certainly not something that the average Aussie bloke would own up to, I would have thought. This is in Australia, talking Australian. A discussion this morning on the breakfast show opened my eyes. There was an announcement about a lady named Amber Petty, Princess Mary's best friend, announced in her weekly contribution for our city paper that she had been the victim of domestic violence and had stayed in the relationship for a while. She gave the reason she stayed, which revolved around attempting to help heal the man and his inner pain and outrage. It didn't work out. The beatings continued, so she eventually left him. See how important it is to leave? As with male-to-female violence, alcohol seems to figure large in the story, the fuel that combusts easily when inserted in excessive quantities in a hot-tempered protagonist. So, too, does mental health or ill health. Bipolar disorder reportedly don't mix well with alcohol either, creating much shorter fuse and a far bigger bang for your buck. So understand all these things when I was mentioning earlier, what leads to you dealing with your domestic violence is depression, the alcohol, the drugs. Excuse me, I'm sorry. All the different things that come along with dealing with with domestic violence sometimes make the problem, you know, worse than what it is. As with male to female violence, I read that part. It says, but my eyes were open when one male caller recounted his experience of being raped. He was fast asleep, recovering from back injury that he had back injuries that had him in a back slap. He was woken at 3 a.m. by banging at his bedroom window. A very drunk woman was demanding to be let in. The caller never said whether the woman was his romantic or sexual partner at the time or not. He let her in, wherein she repeatedly pushed him toward his bedroom. He was recovering from serious injuries, and even though he was 6'4 and 110 kilograms, he was physically unable, mentally unprepared, and morally unwilling to push her back. Despite him saying no repeatedly, she went ahead with her intentions. She pushed him down on the bed and had her way on top of him. His underwear was still on him. Satisfied, she got up and left. Man. He called the police, and the forensic team came around and took swabs and, I guess, do what rape teams do. They asked if he had a photo of her, which he did. They saw a beautiful woman and told him stop wasting their time. It couldn't have been rape, as she was too far good-looking, and he must have enjoyed it. I have no doubt that in some parts of the world, this caller's story would be taken more seriously. But here in Australia, the police reaction was totally unsurprising. A real man, so our culture says, could never be raped, as all men want sex all the time in whatever form it comes. But there is a real double standard here, plainly visible in how the media, the police, the legal system, and the greater culture treats victims of violence, including violence of rape. Here, the word rape in the very first scenario that pops into your head is a violent male raping a female. Here, the phrase domestic violence, and you and I no doubt instantly take some male bastard taking a woman with his fist or some hard or sharp object. But then hear or read that the victim was a male, the perpetrator female, and our brains don't quite know what to do with that information. It is out of the ordinary, unprepared for, and our brains start freewheeling while we try to figure out what our emotional response should be. It says, the number of women accused of violence against partners has risen by almost 25% in 5 years. Excuse me. And domestic violence workers blame the rise on police mistakenly arresting victims for trying to defend themselves. In 12 months to September 2003, police recorded 4,918 women as persons of interest for perpetrating domestic violence. By 2006 to 2007, that had risen to 6,156. Figures from the Bureau of Crime Statistics and Research show of women arrested for domestic violence-related assault in 5 years to last September, only 32% of the cases reached court, compared with 56% cases involving men, statistics show. The Bureau Director, Mr. Weatherburn, said the increase was likely to have been driven to more by more than one factor. Others could include an increase in binge drinking or more men who are willing to admit they are victims. It's possible that people are becoming less tolerant of violence by females than they used to be, he said. Okay. Admit it. When you heard that Liza Minnelli had been accused by her husband, David Guest, of beating him up, you laughed. He says the cabaret star beat him in the head so hard she caused brain damage. Even as I read this, I smirked. When I reached the passage explaining that he now has to take 11 prescription medications to deal with the pain and that he developed a phobia of loud noises, I, for too late, stopped chuckling. Domestic violence targeted at men is one of our biggest taboos. When it is forced into the public's gaze, we react in a way that shames us. Pauline Fowler reacted to the news that her husband was having an affair by beating him over the head with a frying pan. The viewers cheered. This is not a trivial issue that is confined to the more freakish Beverly Hills mansions or soapy TV dramas. A BBC poll has found that 18% of British men admit of being victims of domestic violence compared to 13% of women. These figures seem improbably high, but even the much lower rate found by British Crime Survey of 2001-2 records that one in five of all incidents of domestic violence is committed against a man. Very interesting. Very interesting information. Okay. Now, this information comes from, it's called MenWeb or www.batteredmen.com. I advise you, if you are a man and you're listening and you are a victim of domestic violence, that you go to this website. The website is called batteredmen.com, batteredmen.com. They consider this the hidden side of domestic violence. Why don't we do anything about it? Here's some information from Phil Cook's pamphlet for battered men. Taking on a macho, I can handle it attitude, even if you have been hurt much worse on an athletic playing field, that is not the same thing as being physically attacked by your intimate partner, which hurts emotionally as well as physically. Allowing this pattern to continue can result in depression, substance abuse, loss of confidence, even suicide, and it's worse. It has resulted in death at the hands or a partner or of a partner or someone induced to kill you by the partner. Men don't tell. This is the actual title of a fact-based CBS TV movie about the male victims of domestic violence keeping silent. Not confiding to a friend, relative, or professional is a common reaction of both male and female victims of domestic violence. It's embarrassing. Men typically face a greater degree of disbelief, ridicule, than do most women in this situation, which helps enforce the silence. Domestic violence victims make excuses for injuries that show it was an accident or it happened while playing sports, when the friends or medical personnel asks about them, hiding from it. Men often escape the bad home life that they are afraid of being spending extra time at work, staying in their space, garage, den, or at home, or even sleeping in the car or at a friend's place. Shame. What will my friends, family, colleagues, and neighbors think? What will people think if they knew I let a woman beat on me? It's a private matter, belongs in the family. if I say something, excuse me, if I say anything, she'll tell everyone I'm the abusive one and shame me in the public. I'm ashamed that not being strong enough to, I'm not strong enough to defend myself. Everyone knows it's men that are the most violent ones. Shame on men for being male. Self-worth. I probably deserve it. This is the best I deserve. With my looks or age or personality or income, this is as good as relationship I'll ever be able to get. Denial. It's not that bad. All I have to do is leave the house until she cools down. That's what TV star Phil Hartman said before his wife murdered him and killed herself. I can weather this one, just like I did the others. Reluctant to give up the good. If people got to know her, they'd see what a creative or loving or wonderful person she is. She's like this only some of the time. The sex is great, and I can put up with being battered around a little. I'm lost without a relationship with her. I'm lost without a relationship. Inertia. It's too hard to do anything. I'm not ready for that much change in my life. I'll do it tomorrow or later when I'm not so busy. Sounds like a lot of work. More to take care of than I can handle right now. Force is a habit. I'm used to the life the way it is now. Another reason for staying is to protect the kids. The research shows that women as well as men who assault their partners are likely to assault their children too. If he leaves, chances are he'll never be able to come back. In today's climate, there is a good chance she'll be able to allege that he has assaulted her or even sexually abused the kids and get a protection order on her say-so, barring him from seeing the kids. This is a common theme in many of the battered men's personal stories here on Men Web. Sorry, guys, but if you need to come up with a safety plan and plan out a way for you and the kids to leave their abusive relationship, you also need a dose of reality about what some of the risks and problems are. They aren't insurmountable problems, and many guys have overcome them, but they are difficult ones. There's another factor, too. If a man is being battered and trying to protect the kids and he calls 911 too frequently, he is the one who ends up being arrested. This was another common thing in many of the battered women's personal stories here on Men Web. At a minimum, he may experience problems getting the police to believe that he's been assaulted or that he needs police help. Family violence researcher Murray A. Strauss observes. Men are also less likely to call the police even when there is an injury because, like women, they feel ashamed about disclosing family violence. But for many men, the shame is compounded by the shame of not being able to keep their wives under control. Among this group, a real man would be able to keep her under control. Moreover, the police tend to share these same traditional gender roles expectations. This adds to the legal and regulatory presumption that the offender is a man. As a result, the police are reluctant to arrest women for domestic assault. Women know this. That is, they know that they are likely to be able to get away with it. As in the case of other crimes, the probability of a woman assaulting her partner is strongly influenced by what she thinks she can get away with. Whew, that is very, very interesting. And a woman does know that she has an upper hand. So that's why she does that if she's the abuser. Again, I would like to mention the hotlines. Louisiana hotline is 1-800-411-1333. The national hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE, 1-800-799-7233. Let's read a couple of personal stories by some men. These men are anonymous contributors. I'm quite sure it's because they don't want anybody to know who they are. This article is called Men's Personal Stories, is also on the batteredweb.com, and it says the author of it is Bert H. Hoff, and he wants you to email him. Let's see, where's the email address at? Excuse me. Oh, I would see his email address in here to email him if you want to talk anonymously to him. I don't see it in here. But I'm going to go ahead. I'm quite sure it's going to be on there. And it's a book by Philip A. Cook called Abused Men, The Hidden Side of Violence. Very interesting information in here. Okay, it says, in one case, I recall the man had been out drinking and came home to fall asleep on the couch. His wife took an iron skillet and beat him. He was taken to the emergency room of the hospital and stitched up. He was taken there by the police, but no charges were filed against his wife. My heart goes out to this man, to men who call because no services are available to them, other than with a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I have some doubts about many of them, as I feel they are back in the dark ages of how they stereotypically view males. Let's talk about this one. Let's see. A 30-year Seattle therapist who, under physical attack by his lover, was fended off her blows while trying to shield his two young children. The man finally called 911 to report the attack, then left the house with his kids after striking back once at the woman. He says he was never interviewed by either police or prosecutor, but was later charged and convicted of assault and required to pay a $500 fine, perform 100 hours of community service, and have absolutely no contact with the woman. His conviction is now under appeal, which is why he asked that his name not be published. I was dumbfounded from the very start of the incident, the man says. I was getting struck by this woman while I was holding my daughter, and I was the one who called the police. Okay. There was a special feature. This happened in 1998, beating up battered men on ABC News, and it says that it was well balanced and well written report that had highly recommend you read. But what is even more compelling are the reader responses as a part of this review, and to entice you to get to visit this site, I offered excerpts from some of the stories offered there. I couldn't believe my eyes when I came across your article. Someone actually acknowledged that there is a problem here. I appreciate the tone and balance of your article, and the only problem I had was with the headline, namely used the term battered men. That conjures up visions of men in the emergency room with black and blue marks on their bodies, when I suspect that rarely the true nature of the problem. Most of us of a certain age were taught a couple of absolutes. Boys do not hit girls, and men do not hit women. Most men can defend themselves against their female attackers, but the real problem is the violence that has been initiated, not whether the man can defend himself. The answer is not to respond with violence unless physical action is absolutely necessary for self-protection, but to respond in other ways, namely seeking outside help. Unfortunately, that doesn't necessarily include the police. When I was living in Connecticut, my wife, in one of her drunken rages, took our daughter's baseball bat and used it to smash the locked door to my study where I was trying to desperately meet a deadline. I was a writer and working at home. Mind you, she's 5'2 and petite in size, so that shows what a person consumed by rage can do. And since I'm over 6 feet tall and muscular, I wouldn't get much sympathy posing as a battered man. Anyway, I had thought of calling the police that night. when I recalled this incident to my divorce lawyer sometime later. His response was, "It's a good thing you didn't, because the police probably would have arrested you." He explained that my wife probably would have claimed that I bashed the door to beat her, and the police would have taken her side because of the Torrington case in Connecticut. Well, a job brought me to the Washington, D.C. area. The first thing I did was contact a lawyer there who happened to be a female and the local leader of one of the most prominent feminist organizations. She took this seriously and told me I wouldn't face the same attitude from police down here. She taught me to leave a paper trail every time my wife went into a drunken rage. Call 911 and get your side officially recorded by the police and social workers. I did this in response by both police and social workers. And social workers was totally professional and helpful. My wife couldn't believe that I was actually doing this, and after a couple of visits from the police, fled back to New England one day while I was at work, unfortunately with our daughter. I have two main pieces of advice for everyone, male or female, faced with domestic violence. One, get help. It may be best to start with a family counselor active in domestic violence cases, rather than to start with the police, but get help when, as in my case, you are white, middle class, and living in the suburbs. There's often a surreal aspect of calling the police, we say to ourselves. This doesn't happen to people like us. When we see scenes on TV, it's usually poor people or minorities. Well, get rid of those stereotypes and realize that this is a problem that is present everywhere in our society. There is no color, creed, or race, age boundary. Domestic violence can hit us all. Do not put up with the violence, as I did, hoping to work things out and telling yourself that you're doing this for the children. The situation can only get worse with time. For you, for your abusive partner, and for the children. I'm sorry to go on in such length, but the mere existence of your article really released a flood of emotions 10 years after all of this happened in my life. Thank you for daring to report on this subject and for doing so in such a balanced and positive way. I was in a hellish marriage with a woman who had difficulty controlling her rage, which would frequently erupt with her hitting, verbal abuse, and screaming. If fighting with her did occur, it was self-defense. If she threw a punch or kicked, I defended myself. In one particular case, after she initiated a fight by kicking and throwing punches, she called the police to report me as the violent abuser. When they responded, I was seen as the bad guy. She was the victim. Attempts at counseling did not work. Only separation and eventually divorce finally extracted me from this nightmare. I think the macho in men puts them in denial mood that they were attacked or abused. Society naturally assumes that men will take care of themselves and continues to focus on the problems of battered women. However, men are also the victims. Society tolerates violent behavior in females, while the men, it is not. Take, for example, the classic television or movie scene of the angry wife or girlfriend throwing dishes at the hapless male victim. No one gets hurt. It's supposed to be funny. Isn't this domestic violence? Would a relative or neighbor witness a real situation like this, laugh and shrug it off? I hope not, but they probably wouldn't consider this domestic violence either. Is the woman in this scene accountable for unacceptable or violent behavior? Of course not. It's considered cute and humorous. The recent report of violence against women should be taken seriously. However, it would be of interest to you, be interest to know how the initiated the violence that events occurred prior to the victim seeking a remedy. Violence in our society must be dealt with regardless of gender, sexist attitudes add to the difficulty by creating conflicts between groups that should join to focus on solving the problems. I'm going to stop right there with that. So, all together, can we review? Let's review what we've learned here. We've learned that domestic violence is very prevalent. We learned that there is a large amount of cases that are dealing with domestic violence. We learned the signs of domestic violence. We learned who the abuser is. We learned who the victim is. We learned that there is help out there in every state. We talked about the protective order. Let's go over the protective order again so that we can get familiar with that. And familiar with that, know what abuse is. When I say the signs, know what it is. It is an act of controlling, manipulating, abusing physically, verbally, sexually, of an intimate partner or a wife or even any member of the family. Our jobs as wives and husbands, girlfriends and boyfriends is to love the person you're with. Your job is not to make them happy. They need to be already happy. If they are miserable, then they need to deal with that. I'm not saying ignore them and let them do the things that they're doing, but I'm saying let them, allow them to deal with it the way that they know how. If abuse is part of the way they can deal with it, then no. They need to find another avenue. They need to find a way to deal with their anger or what they're going through, not taking it out on the human being or anybody or even the animals, you know. They need to find another outlet. Okay, let's talk about the protective order, the 8 steps for the protective order. We talked about get the necessary forms, which you can get at the clerk office. Carefully fill out the form. Know what you're filling out. If you have problems, find somebody who can help you. Fill out the forms. Request a temporary restraining order if you have to, if necessary. Bring identification, all your identification, birth certificates, ID, driver's license, children's birth certificate, all that stuff. You need to have it in a safe place so that just by chance you do have to leave, you have all this with you. A judge has to review your petition. Service of processor, what they do is they serve papers to the abuser. What will happen to prove at the hearing? You have to bring evidence, dates, times, situations. If you have pictures, show pictures of the abuse. Try to be clear and concise. Remember as much as you can, because if you're like me, you probably can't. Let's see. Then step 8 is when they have a full court hearing. Make sure you make it to that hearing. If you cannot make it to that hearing, you need to call the clerk of court office and explain to them what happened. If you just downright ignore it, you're back on your own. You're protecting your own self. That's it. Everything goes revoked, and you have to do it on your own, or you have to start from scratch. But I would advise you to make sure you have everything right there with you. Keep it in a folder in your purse, wherever you can keep it, so that if something like this was to happen, you'd have all your information right there. Make sure you tell somebody. Always make sure you tell somebody. It's important for you to let somebody know where you're going, who you talk to, where you talk to, what you're wearing that day, just in case you have to get away quickly. Always, if you know that you're in a relationship like that, always keep something packed. Take it to someone else's house and leave it there. So when you leave, you know you can go by that person's house. Do not make it evident of all your friends. This is my opinion. If you have friends that your husband is not familiar with or don't know, I advise you to keep it that way because that might be where you need to flee to. Let's see. We discussed that. We talked about a restraining order, temporary restraining order, which is served, as we said earlier. Let's say I'm going to repeat the domestic violence hotline again. It's 799-SAFE, 1-800-799-7233. The Louisiana hotline for domestic violence is 1-800-411-1333. I'm hoping that everyone had an opportunity to learn from this. If you didn't, please contact me if you have any questions. My website is www. You can contact me on Blog Talk Radio also at /chocolatelady64, which is chocolatelady64. It would be nice if I could chat with you guys while I'm online, but I'm still learning. I'm still trying to see how to work this stuff. I try to just do as much as I can. I hope and pray I can get someone to call me, get some information. If there's anything that I can help anybody with, I would love to help you with it, because this is a very serious thing. And like I said, domestic violence is going on right now as we speak. Someone somewhere is being abused, and it's our job as society, because, you know, society doesn't want to get involved. But I think about the innocent children that are here that are getting caught up in all this, that's watching the husband or the wife beat the husband or vice versa. I don't think a child should go through that. And again, I said earlier in my other show, I don't understand how you can continue to beat somebody when you hear them hollering and screaming. I don't care how angry you are. You know, it's like killing an animal and not caring what you're doing. And you hear it barking, or you hear it whining, or you hear it screeching, and you continue to do it. Somewhere there's something wrong. I ask you and I advise you to get help. If you are the abuser, if you are the abusee, I advise you to get help. You're needing help. Again, you can contact me on www.tagged.com, Salita McCall, Facebook, also with my last name, Salita McCall, Black Planet. It's Benny, 1964. Anytime that you want to talk to me, like I said, contact me email, by email, or you can go on my website and leave me a message. And when I get an opportunity, what I do is I go every day and I go through my pages, and I read my messages. I also go into my emails and read my messages. Again, I would like to say thank you for stopping by, listening to my show. I do have an upcoming product that I'm working on. I would like to share with my Blog Talk listeners out there. They're called Samantha Sensational Gourmet Treats. I named them after my dog, Samantha, which is a Lhasa Apso. I am a dog lover. I love her to death. And we also have a lab, which his name is Rocky. Samantha's not too keen on my treats, but what I did was I made some, I put them together, and I took them to work so that some of my coworkers who love dogs and have dogs could taste them, sample them for me, and I told them, give me the feedback on it. I was very pleased with the feedback because they enjoyed them. So I know now I have another business venture that I can go on, and I hope I can be successful with this one. I can say I've been successful with all the ventures I've taken on. I just don't stay with them long enough. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening. And again, like I said before, the Louisiana Hotline for Domestic Violence is 1-800-411-1333. The national hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E, or 1-800-799-7233. Again, I will give you my web pages, tag.com, which /Salita McCall, Facebook, you can catch that under Salita McCall, Black Planet is Benny's 1964. And also, as you know, on Blog Talk Radio, .com/chocolatelady, chocolatelady64. I really advise you guys to give me, or encourage you to give me, some feedback on my shows, to tell me where I'm going wrong, critique me if you can. I can take it. I do it every day. I talk every day to different people, so I really, really would like to hear people tell me how they feel about my shows. Again, I want to say good night. This has been Blog Talk Radio /ChocolateLady64. My segments on domestic violence I've completed. If you have any questions, please contact me. Thank you again. Good night, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Bye-bye. I will be letting you know when my next show is. Thank you.